touchdown. With time, throws it short. Foreman with the catch. Foreman to the end zone for the touchdown. Warriors' long pass of the day is 15 yards, and it's intercepted. Picked off by Jalen Johnson. Johnson, untouched for the touchdown.
What's up, Bears fans? Welcome back. It's been 2 weeks since we've seen you guys. You know, the moment we waited for, this NFL draft this year, the biggest draft in the history of the Bears. And I tell you what, can we just crown Ryan Poles at this point as the best GM of our lifetime? I mean, you want to talk about a man that has taken where we were and is leading us into what is hopefully the promised land. As always, guys, we're your hosts here. I'm Tim Willis. My brother to the left of me here is Jeff Willis. And you know, guys, I can't begin to explain to you how excited I am right now. It's a really exciting time to be a Bears fan. You know, before I get into you here, Jeff, you guys all knew over past shows that I'm a big Roma Dunze fan. And I'm just glad to see that Ryan Poles and company are also very big Roma Dunze fans, because like I've been telling you guys for weeks now, it's not just the tape. We know the guy can play really, really well. It's the man, the character, all these things. We talk about this how many times, Jeff, about the character of this, of the players on this football team. I mean, everybody knew where we were going with number one. We knew it was going to be Caleb Williams. And I think that number nine pick was the one that everybody kept going back and forth about. But if there's one thing we've learned about Ryan Poles, he's very honest. He doesn't do anything or say anything that is contradictory to what he's actually going to do. If we've noticed anything, and you know, he's had throwing sessions with Caleb and Roma Dunze. It's been all over the place that that's the direction the Bears were looking to go. I don't think he was hiding it, Jeff. I really don't. What are your thoughts on the situation?
Well, before I give you guys all my thoughts, I just want to say thanks everybody for being here today. As usual, we didn't have a show last week because of the draft being on Friday night. We had our draft coverage here on Barroom Network. But before we get started, just a quick reminder, guys, that please give the video a like. Please give us all a follow. We're at Barroom Network. I'm at Jaw0235. He is at Tim Willis 24. I want to get to this later too, because I realized my Twitter handle is a little arbitrary, and I've been thinking about changing that for a while to make it a little bit easier for you guys to find me. So I've got a couple options that I'm going to ask you about at the end of the show, what you guys might want me to go with to make it a little easier on you guys and anybody else. So I'm going to ask you that later on down the road tonight. But like I said, please give us all a like and a follow, like the video here, like I said, and we'll just keep giving you guys the coverage like we do every Friday. But to answer your question, Tim, as you guys know, who've been following the show here the last several weeks now, I had been putting my stamp on the fact that I really liked Dallas Turner at nine if he was able to fall to us. And as you guys who watched the draft saw, he was there at nine. So that being said, Tim and I were on the phone about a month before the draft, I want to say. It might not have been quite that long before. But we were having a conversation about who might the Bears take at nine, who might be there. And I'd mentioned to him, look, you know that Dallas Turner is my favorite. He's been the guy that's been on my radar for a long time now for several different reasons. As you guys have heard me say, I felt like it was important to address pass rusher early in the draft because I think it's way harder to do later on and find an impact guy. And I didn't expect us to draft high like this again in the future. But then I also mentioned to Tim, look, watching Roma Dunze's tape, listening to this guy talk, seeing some of the interviews he's done, he's definitely my second choice here in this. If he does end up falling to us there, which I also was unsure if he would make it to us at nine. Well, both of them were there. And as you guys saw, Rome was clearly the guy they went with. Now I'm going to dig into this a little bit deeper later, but through some interviews that Poles has done over the course of the last week, it seems as though the Bears had kind of made up their mind that Rome was going to be their guy at nine if he fell to them. And really there were even some conversations about moving up to try and go get him and what it would take. So I think he was the guy all along. If he was going to fall to them, I think that's the guy they fell in love with. And to me, it's because he was so high up on their board. And he's just, again, like I was, as Tim said to you guys earlier, that character thing, that football character thing, that personal character, we keep talking to you guys about. The Bears keep mentioning how important a person is. And to me, with these draft picks they've made, the extensive research they did on these guys, and just like the way that Rome talks in person, as I mentioned to you guys, the way that he comes off in interviews and stuff, it, to me, it was kind of like a no-brainer. It all added up. He makes a lot of sense there. And I've really, obviously, I didn't have to come around to it because I liked the idea in the first place, but I understand now why they went the direction that they did. Now, I am going to say I was a little surprised that Turner fell to 17, and it really does suck that he's going to be going against us in the division with Minnesota. Hopefully, he doesn't wreak too much havoc on us. But I do love the Adunze pick. I think he's going to be a great option for Caleb over his career because the guy just – he does a little bit of everything. And like I said, I want to get into some more of this in depth later, but there were some interviews and stuff and some comparisons. TJ Houshmandzadeh, who works with Rome Adunze, was talking about him in depth on, I believe it was on Parkins and Spiegel. But like I said, I'll get into that a little bit more later, guys. But like I said, I like the pick a lot. I think it makes a ton of sense. I feel like if you have conviction in a guy like this, why would you move down, especially when this guy can help you right now and in the future? He's the X receiver that we've needed. We've been talking about that for months now, as you guys know, who watch the show. So, I mean, it all really makes a ton of sense. And we'll get into more of the draft picks later. I was happy they did address the edge rusher. I could not believe that Austin Booker fell to us in the fifth round. And I was really, really happy that they moved back up to get him. Tim and I had been talking about him in the third round as a possibility. So that was really, to me, nice to see because I'd been looking at my consensus big board that I mentioned to you guys on several occasions. And he was right under Karan Amagajia, who – the Bears took at 75. So the fact that both these guys were right there and for the taking for the Bears where they wanted them is just like, it's a home run for us, I feel like. So I like the way the draft fell out. We'll get to the punter thing a little bit later because I know there's some criticism there on that. But yeah, all in all, I thought it was a tremendous draft for the Bears this year. I thought they did exactly what they set out to do. And there is a very, very, very exciting future of this franchise, guys. We should all be very, very optimistic about where we're heading here.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. What I was going to say too, like Jeff said, we're going to get into all the draft picks here soon, but I want to focus here on this number 9 pick really quickly because, like Jeff said, he was high on Dallas Turner. I think a lot of people really felt like we should be going with a pass rusher or an edge rusher in general in that, or maybe a 3 technique, something on the defensive line. A lot of people really wanted to see that. And I look at this in a couple different ways. Number one, like Ryan Poles has said, Rome Adunze was at the top of his list. Like he was the number one guy left on the board for sure at that point. But besides that, you know, we know that Eberflus is a great defensive minded coach. Clearly, he knows how to get a defense going and can build on a defense. And, you know, offense has obviously been a weakness for the Bears in its history, and defense is not. And I just look at this like we only have Keenan Allen for 1 year left on contract. You know, it's uncertain what's going to happen next year. Caleb clearly had a really and clearly does have a really good relationship with Rome Adunze. If you guys don't know, they flew to the draft together. They had, like I talked about earlier, they had gotten in a throwing session with DJ Moore and Keenan Allen as well. They came together, obviously, to Chicago on Friday morning. These guys are close. So that was a big thing as well. And I feel like as far as edge rushers go and defensive line goes, you know, this is why you brought in Eric Washington. Maybe there's still some development left. And I don't think it's as imperative that they have a really good edge if they're getting pressure up the middle. And I think if anybody is going to get the most out of this front four, it's going to be Eric Washington. And you know, hopefully we can see him step in and get these guys, take Jervon Dexter and Zach Pickens to the next level. Maybe even see more out of Montez Sweat. maybe get a little bit more out of DeMarcus Walker. Maybe, God willing, we see something out of Dominique Robinson, assuming he doesn't get cut, which I think he's a very good cap casualty at this point. And, you know, now Austin Booker, who I know we're going to get into him later, but the guy is 21 years old. There is a ton of growth and development that can be had there. And the measurables are outstanding. So,
by the way, he's from Indiana. I don't know if you guys didn't know, Tim and I are from Indiana, and Austin Booker went to school at Center Grove, which is right around Indianapolis area. And they've always had a really, really good wrestling program as well. They really care about their athletics out there. So the fact that this guy was a D1 football talent is not a huge surprise, but it's really nice to see, again, another guy who's relatively local to the Chicago area that the Bears are bringing in.
Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah. Agreed. And yeah, that Center Grove, like Jeff said, they're several football state championships. They're in the running like every year. That whole Indianapolis, there's the conference is the MIC. There's state champions out of that conference every year. It seems like it's a very, very deep conference, that whole Indianapolis area. And Center Grove is definitely up there every year and has a lot of college recruits. You see a lot of Notre Dame players that come from Center Grove. It and that conference in general. So it's a great conference and one of the top in Indiana. But yeah, like Jeff said, Austin Booker's from here and it's a great connection there. Probably has some, maybe he likes the Bears, who knows, beforehand, but you know, like I said, the measurables are outstanding. He could put some weight on. That would be nice. He's going to need to. But yeah, I mean, Poles literally focused and was able to address every need so far this offseason. A lot of them may not be like long-term solutions. Like I still obviously don't believe we have a long-term solution at center, but it's an upgrade for sure. As a matter of fact, there's two upgrades at the center position that he got this year. I think both of them are an upgrade over what we've had before. And then, you know, the punter, we went from having the worst punter in all of football last year to possibly now having the greatest punter in football in this coming season. We'll get into him later, but there's a lot to like there. So, you know, I feel like we're in a step in the right direction. And really quickly, Jeff, there's a question on here from Vizo Joe. I'm going to ask it because it kind of ties into where we're at right now. I'll answer it and then I'll let you answer it. Vizo is asking, do we feel like the rebuild is officially done? I will answer this by saying I believe the rebuilding part of it is done, but I don't believe the job is finished yet, if that makes sense. I still think we are a year away from actual Super Bowl contention. I think we are definitely a playoff team right now, but I don't think this is truly our Super Bowl window. I think that's next year. But as far as rebuilding, meaning cutting your losses, trading away some expensive players, not signing a lot in free agency, picking up tons and tons and tons of draft capital, I think Ryan Poles showed that in this draft that he wasn't as concerned with having as many draft picks because he has been able to fill a lot of those needs. So as far as the rebuilding goes, yes. But now I like what Aldo's saying here. Rebuilding is done and fine-tuning starts, and I 100% agree. I think this is the point now where they're just cleaning up here and there, bits and pieces. And yeah, next year you can walk into the first round and just draft the best available player on the board and be happy with it. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I'll just answer the question real quick. And then I want to do a quick breakdown in each of the draft picks starting from fifth round to first round. I want to give just a little rundown on each guy before we get into some other topics. But to answer the question, I do believe that the rebuild, I can't believe I'm admitting this because Tim really actually put this a good way. I can't believe I'm saying that. But yes, the rebuild is done and really the job is not finished though. The way he put that was pretty good. And the reason I say that is because when I think of rebuild, I think of like a teardown. You start tearing down, you start from scratch. You build a base and a foundation and then you start adding pieces to that foundation that are going to be a stable part of that core for a long time. That part is done, in my opinion. You have your quarterback, you have your number one wide receiver for the foreseeable future. You really have two of them probably for the foreseeable future. And if you extend Keenan Allen, you have, you know, really 1B, 1A, 1B, 1C for the foreseeable future. You have a very strong defense right now with a lot of young core pieces in place, especially your secondary, who is very, very, very good and going to be very tough to score points on in a passing league. The one spot I would say they still have a little bit of a need, and that's because Booker is not going to come in and be the guy right away. There still is a question about whether they're going to have enough pass rush to me right now. Dexter, if he takes a big jump, is going to be a big thing for us. I don't want to get off into a tangent, but to answer your question, yes, the rebuild part is done. The job is not done because there are tweaks that are going to have to take place. As Aldo mentioned, there's still things that need to happen for this team to be ready. But really, every team, regardless of who you are, even if you just got done winning the Super Bowl, you're going to go into every offseason and say, hey, we got some needs here. We got some stuff we got to do. The Bears are pretty damn close right now. I agree with Tim. I think they're still a good year away, but they are very, very close to being in contention right now, in my opinion. There are still a few question marks, especially in the trenches, in my opinion, whether or not the offensive line is good enough to hold up and healthy enough to hold up, whether or not the defensive line is going to have enough pass rush to hold up. Those are questions to me. Outside of that, I mean, yes, that's a big part of your game, obviously, is trench play, but the skill positions are there. The skill talent looks like it's going to be there. And obviously your defense played really well, even without a significant pass rush presence last year outside of Montez Sweat. So the Dolphins are showing, you know, we don't care about trench play. We're just going to go get speed and playmakers and find a way to make it happen. So some teams obviously believe in that philosophy and that mindset. So whether or not the Bears do or not, I don't think it's true, but that they necessarily do. But my point is that I think that they can still get by and still have a ton of success, regardless of whether our trench play is as good as we would want it to be right now. I still think it can be pretty damn good, especially like Darnell Wright and the way he has been playing over the course of the last year. And I think he's about to take a huge jump. So like I said, I don't want to go off into a tangent, get too far off of what we were talking about there, but yeah, I really do think that it's done. The rebuild is done. Now is the part where you start adding on the pieces year after year to supplement what you're building to get to that championship, because the end goal is the Super Bowl and sustained success, winning multiple Super Bowls. The job is not finished until you've done that. So in my opinion, yeah, the rebuild is done. The job is not. That's a good way to word that, Tim. So outside of that, I do want to, like I said, I want to break down some of these draft picks here. And I do want to start with Austin Booker, the fifth round pick. Some things that I noticed about him. Like I said to you guys earlier, he is from Indianapolis area, Greenwood, Indiana. He went to Center Grove High School. He started off his career at Wisconsin for a couple years. He redshirted as a freshman. He didn't play much as a sophomore. He was a backup. And then he transferred to Kansas and he blew up. He had 8 sacks last year. He was not a starter at Kansas, but he played in their nickel packages. He was on the field a ton in pass rush downs. And like I said, he had 8 sacks. He's a very productive player. He's long arms, almost 34-inch arms. He's, you know, 6'4". He's a big guy. He's a big dude with long arms. And like Tim said, he's a little thin, especially in the legs. I'd like to see him put on a little bit of weight and get a little bit of stronger. But if you watch this guy's tape, he does not look like he's given up a lot of strength to people. He has susceptive power. The way he can push guys, his hand usage is actually pretty good for a guy who – it doesn't look like he's played a whole lot, but the first thing I notice about this guy is he's fast. He's fast and he's quick, and he gets off blocks pretty damn well for a little guy. And he really chases down ball carriers. He's always looking for the football. He's punching at it. The guy, he's got a huge motor from what I was watching him on tape. So I really, really like the Austin Booker pick. I was honestly shocked he fell to the fifth round, because like I told you guys, I've got this consensus big board here, and I want to give you guys a little bit of a rundown on this. The website, I believe, is NFL Mock Draft Database, but they put out this consensus big board every single year. And what they do is they take all these mock drafts around the internet. They took all these big boards around the internet from everybody you can think of, Mel Kiper's, the Dane Brugler's, the Matt Miller's of the world, everybody who you can think of that's got a big board or a mock draft. And they take these and it changes day after day as we get closer to the draft. And they update what they call their consensus big board to kind of go in line with what these guys are predicting will happen. Well, on this consensus big board that I was looking at, as I mentioned to you guys, number 78 was Karan Amagajia, who went in the third round to us at 75. So the value there was good. And Austin Booker was literally right after him at 79 on this consensus big board. So that's a third round value, according to most prognosticators. And the Bears getting him in the fifth round, you know, is great, even if they had to trade a fourth rounder next year to do it, because I do expect comp picks. and the pick for Justin Fields could be a fourth rounder if he plays enough this year. So all these things kind of come into conversation here. I love that Booker pick. I think it was great. I think he's got huge upside. I think he does need to put on a little bit of weight. I don't expect him to come in and be a starting defensive end right away, but he is going to play on pass rush downs, guys. And I would not be surprised to see him have 4 or 5 sacks as a rookie, because I think they're going to use him in the right ways. And like I said, he's susceptible with the kind of power he has and the way he's able to shed blocks. I think he's going to be a productive player. I really do. And I would not be surprised to see him have an impact as a rookie. So what are your thoughts on him, Tim? I kind of went on my tangent about it, but I want to kind of hear what you think about him.
So another reason that I was going to say that I think they did not go with an edge in the first round at number 9, because I don't think it's as important as having a receiver is, even if we've already got Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. My reasoning is because this defensive line is already really good at stopping the run. That is a massive strength of theirs. What we were lacking was a pass rusher. I wouldn't even say it was just an edge player, but a pass rusher, a pure pass rusher. You know, this is somewhere where Austin Booker can come in here. He does not have to start. He does not have to play on rundowns. And what are his numbers? He had 8 or 9 sacks last year, I believe. I think it was 9. He had 9 sacks last year at 21 years old, first year transfer at Kansas. And, you know, this is something the guy is going to be able to come into Chicago, come in on those rushdowns, probably mostly third downs. He can come in there, he can rear back, and he can go after the quarterback. He doesn't have to worry about anything else. And guys, they're gonna give a lot of double teams to Montez Sweat, which is gonna give this guy one-on-ones. I think this kid could really surprise the NFL this year. You said 4 or 5 sacks. I could see him getting in the 7 to even maybe 10 range just because he can rush the passer. Now, I know that's a lot, and I'm not saying that that's my prediction, but I'm saying I would not be surprised to see numbers like that just because he's going to be able to just go and go and go. And he's a young kid. He's going to develop well under Eric Washington. This is what you want, a guy like that. I think 4 to 5 sacks is very realistic. Here's the difference. Domrob, when he was brought in, was a project, wasn't the greatest pass rusher to begin with. That's what this kid does and does really well. 9 sacks is a lot for a guy who was not a starter and only played on pass rushing downs in the Big 12, which does have some pretty good offensive line play. So to me, this is a really good scenario and a good situation to be in for the Bears and for Austin Booker, because he's able to come in here and just focus on what his strengths are and develop into those, maybe, you know, being a better run defender. And he is going to grow. They're going to give some weight on him. I don't see it being a lot of weight, maybe 10, 15 pounds at the most this year, just because you don't want it to be fat weight. And, you know, we've heard Greg Gabriel mention this on GTF before about, you know, you want to make sure it's good weight. And that's true. You want it to be muscular and strong and not just fat weight. So yeah, I really liked the pick. And like you said, Jeff, he had a third round grade from most people. And if you're able to get him in the 5th round, that's a pretty good steal. And, you know, someone, like we talked about earlier, someone had asked if the rebuild was over. Guys, Ryan Poles traded a 4th round pick next year to move into the 5th round this year. If that's kind of not, I would say that's pretty telling that the rebuild is over. He wouldn't have given up future capital, especially higher capital than the round that he was trading into, if he felt like we were far away still. And, you know, we'll get into that, you know, because I'm sure Jeff's going into the 4th round pick here next, talking about the punter. But I think that's another sign of, you know, that's how close they think they are. Now, granted, I think that, you know, Torrey Taylor he was definitely the best punter in this draft. I think he's, you know, he's worthy of a 4th round pick because of what he's going to bring the team, you know, punter or not. At the same time, you know, this is where we're headed. I think that this is a great situation, and this is when you're able to just start drafting guys that, you know, are good football players. You don't have to necessarily worry about, well, we could trade down here or get him later or yada, yada, yada. You just take good football players. So I don't know if you want to add on to that, Jeff, or if you want to move on to Torrey Taylor, but go ahead. You're muted.
Sorry about that. I always do that when Tim's talking, trying not to make too much noise. But I was just going to say, as far as Booker, like, I don't want to leave too much expectation on him because I doubt he's going to be the starter. There has been some talk about possibly bringing Ngakoue back. I've heard that the Bears have been in communication with him, and he was even working out at the Bears facility up until his contract ran up. So I wouldn't be surprised to see him come back. Like Vizo said, I wouldn't mind seeing him come back. I wouldn't either. If his ankle's healthy and he came back, it makes sense. It's a good fit. He understands the defense. He knows his teammates around him. And like I said, Booker's not ready to be a starting defensive end right now, I don't think. But just a real quick thing about Booker, like I said, if you guys haven't watched any tape on him, please go watch some, because this kid is really exciting, in my opinion. He's got such a quick first step, and just the way he moves, he's very, very quick and very fast for a big guy like that with those long arms. The way he chases defenders down and stuff, he's always working. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a good fit for this defense, and I think they're going to get something out of him. I think 8 or 9 to 10 sacks is being a little – that's pushing it a little bit too much. But 4 or 5, I think I could see him doing that. I really could if the situations are right. So going on, before I get to the fourth-round pick, I want to mention something to you real quick, guys, because I've been talking about this ad nauseum for several episodes and several weeks with you guys, with the Bears in top 30 visits, and how I thought that the Bears were very, very, whenever they brought guys in for 30 visits, that would give you a good indicator of the guys who they were looking to draft, because the draft picks last year, and not this season, but the season prior, I think 5 of their 7 picks were all, or 5 or their 8, however many it was, were all top 30 visits. And this year now, 4 out of the 5 were all top 30 visits. The only one who wasn't was Torrey Taylor, but he did meet with Richard Hightower at the scouting combine. So, guys, I know some teams this isn't a super important thing to, and they don't usually draft guys. Some teams don't exactly draft guys that they meet with because they're trying to smoke screen or whatever, but
Michael Penix, excuse me, sorry.
It seems like, yeah, Michael Penix. But it does seem like there's a little bit of a trend here. I mean, maybe they buck the trend next year and the next couple years and they go a different direction. But I've been telling you guys, pay attention to these 30 visits, because these are the guys they go after for the most part. These are the guys they want to get to know because they're looking to draft them potentially. So again, 4 out of the 5 guys they drafted were all top 30 visits, reportedly anyway. So that's
well. To be fair, the one that wasn't a top 30 is the punter, and you're not going to bring a punter in for a top 30.
And that's another thing too, is if you bring that punter in for a top 30 visit, every team in the world is going to know that you're interested in drafting that punter, in my opinion. So yes, if you do that, you're saying like, look, we're going to potentially do that, and then maybe a team does jump up and take him in the fourth round before you get a chance to. I mean, hell, the 49ers just drafted a kicker in the 3rd round, what, last year? So it happens, guys. Specialists do go sometimes on day 2 and, you know, even on early on day 3. So, again, so let's get into the Taylor pick real quick, because I thought that this pick was really good. At first, and I was telling Aldo this before the show today, when the pick first happened, I was very surprised. I was in shock. And it wasn't – and here's the big thing, is because obviously the edge need was there, and I was thinking that they were going to take Booker at that spot. I'd put out a tweet right before the Bears picked at 75. I don't know if you guys saw it, but I said, I'm a Gagier, Austin Booker, or Cam Kitchens here at 75 for the Bears. They ended up taking Amagagia. Well, when Booker was still there at 144, I'm thinking it's got to be Booker. Well, then they take Torrey Taylor, the punter. So like I said, I was in shock. But then, like, almost immediately upon me sitting and thinking about it for even just a second, it made a ton of sense. The punting game has not been very good the past couple of years. Trent Gill did not develop anywhere near to the level that they'd hoped he would. So, I mean, really, I don't want to say he was a liability, but, I mean, it was like touchback after touchback after touchback with the guy. So bringing in a guy who, if you've watched any of this guy's film, okay, which lately, I've been watching a lot more of it than I did before the draft, admittedly. But this dude, guys, I'm telling you, I knew he was good, but it's not just so much he's got a big leg. His ball placement is like phenomenal. And it's not just so much he kicks it where he wants to kick it. It's the bounce. He bounces it. It'll bounce forward. It'll bounce backward. It'll bounce side. It'll bounce wherever hell direction he wants it to bounce. It's a thing of beauty. You see him kick the ball from his own 30. You see him kick the ball from his own 40. You see him kicking back at his own 20. And he's still placing the ball inside the opponent's 20-yard line. And in many cases, he's pinning them inside their own 5. I mean, there's dozens of clips, him pinning teams inside their own 5-yard line. It's impressive. So that's a legitimate weapon to me when you have a defense who's going to force teams to drive down the field. They're not going to have a significant pass rush. This is a bend but don't break defense. I shouldn't say they're not going to have a significant pass rush, but there's questions whether or not they will. This is a bend but don't break defense. They're going to force teams to drive down the field. Now, whether or not they score or not is going to be more and more difficult the further they have to go. And if you have a punter who's not leaving, you know, he at the 25-yard line all the time, or the 20-yard line, whatever it is now, I forgot what they changed it to, but you know, you got to be able to pin some teams sometimes. And they haven't been able to do that for 2 years now. This guy is going to be a legitimate weapon. I really believe that. And I think the way he's able to punt, it is something spectacular, guys, watching him do it. He puts it where he wants to. And if our coverage unit can get down the field and stop and get to the ball before it bounces into the end zone, which is, you know, they should be able to do with the speed they have, Josh Blackwell in particular, I really see this as being a good thing for us and our defense, especially with a rookie quarterback we're going to have to punt, guys. Let's face facts. I know he told Taylor when they drafted him, don't expect to punt much because we're not going to do it a whole lot. I love the attitude, but we are going to still have to punt some. So having a guy who's a legitimate weapon and he's going to allow us to be in good field position on defense and even have potential safeties if we get a good enough push, you know, that's an upswing in the game. And as many coaches will tell you, this is a 3-phase game. Having weapons on special teams is a big deal. Look at Devin Hester, no further than that. Now, obviously, a punter is not the same thing as Devin Hester. But still, guys, this is a weapon. And it's in the 4th round. Anybody who's going to make a huge deal about taking a player in the 4th round, and, you know, because, I mean, guys, we're talking about the 4th round here. It's like you're not expecting a guy who gets drafted in the 4th round to come in and be a guy. You're hopeful that he is, but you're not expecting him to be. When it's a punter, yeah, you probably are expecting him to be. But that's why you take him in the 4th round and you don't allow somebody else to get him after you. So that's just my opinion on that part. I'll let you say what you have to say about it, Tim, but I like the pick. Like I said, I was a little in shock about it at first, but the fact that they were still able to come back into the draft and get an edge rusher made me feel much better about it afterwards, but I wasn't even upset about it when it happened. But go about it. Go ahead, Tim.
So I'm going to start it by saying, we can't keep saying they took a punter in the 4th round, because my first initial thought was punter. And then I saw who it was and I was like, okay, I understand. So you guys got to remember, they didn't draft this guy to be just a punter. He's a weapon. I don't know if you guys know this, but Iowa was excited. Iowa fans got excited when Torrey Taylor came onto the field, because when the team was struggling, he was like their offense. He was able to get the ball down inside the 5 consistently and bury the other team in their own end zone so that the defense could come out and get a stop, because he was better than their offense. He was the legitimate weapon for that team. And when you have a guy who can come in and do what he's able to do, you want to talk about flipping the field, guys, that is a massive advantage with this defense in Chicago. If you can bury a team inside the 5-yard line consistently like he does, we're talking about a big time deal here, because this defense can now rear back and we can be looking for tackles for loss, safeties. You know, we're going to get the ball back in good field position most likely. I mean, this is just what's going to happen. This defense is going to love having a guy like Torrey Taylor. And here's the other thing. This guy kicks in such a different style. And, you know, that this Aussie style has gotten very popular, especially in college and going into the NFL with punters. And the difference, this guy, there is like a spin and like a backspin and a movement on this ball that it's different from anybody else you see. He can kick it from one side and it completely goes another direction. It's like guys like throwing curveballs with his foot. You know, you want to talk about not just the fact that he's able to get inside the 5-yard line most of the time, But now you're talking, it's also going to be difficult for a punt returner to see this ball coming in. It's an actual weapon, guys. And who knows, he could end up kicking off too because of how powerful that leg is. You know, he's going to have a stronger leg than Cairo Santos. I don't think there's any question about that. And if he's able to, you know, kick off like he can punt and move the ball, this could be huge. So, you know, I understand the thought process of it being a punter, but Sebastian Janikowski was a first round pick. And I'm sure everybody was like, you're taking a kicker with the first round pick. But I would say, you know, he's going to be a Hall of Fame kicker. If, you know, I'd say that's worthy of a first round pick. So, you know, you can make arguments for those kind of things, but it's a fourth round pick. It's not that big of a deal. You know, it's not like they gave up a second or a third round pick where you get most of your starters. And here's another thing. You got a starter in the fourth round, a guaranteed starter in the fourth round. I would say that's fine. That's a good thing. So I didn't hate the pick. Could they have gone another direction? Sure. But, you know, I'm sure they looked at like, well, somebody else could be taking him pretty soon. So if we want this guy, we got to take him now. And, you know, kudos to him for going out there and getting, Austin Booker in the fifth round and trading back in and still getting that pass rusher after this. But I don't hate the pick at all. So, you know, let's go into Amagaji. So if you guys don't know, our third round pick, number 75, Kieran Amagaji, he went to Yale. He has been a wrecker in the Ivy League. Like, he is just dominating.
Chicago product.
Hasn't given up a single sack in college. You know, huge Bears fan. And it's funny because everybody's digging up all of his old tweets. And I believe it was from like 2017. He said, fire the entire Bears offensive line. Like, this guy, he's a huge Bears fan. You want to talk about somebody who's probably more excited than anybody else to be a Bear. It's this guy. And you want to talk about measurables. You know, we all knew that Braxton Jones had great measurables before, you know, the freakish length. This guy has even better measurables. It's unreal. He's got 36-inch arms. That is outrageous. This guy could really, if he can develop, we are talking about, at the very least, the best swing tackle in football. And, you know, at best, he's replacing Braxton Jones and being one of the best starters in football. And then Braxton Jones automatically becomes one of the best swing tackles in football. You know, depth to me has been an issue. So maybe even one of those guys plays guard. I don't know. But I can tell you that we need depth on this O-line. And I loved that they went out there and they got this guy at that spot, because to me, that's definitely worth a third round pick. And you weren't going to find a better tackle past this pick. It wasn't going to happen. So I love it. I loved this pick. It was a big one. You know, Ryan Poles got that tackle, and kudos to Greg Gabriel. He's been talking about this guy for weeks, saying that this could be a possibility because of those measurables. And as we know, they love those traits. The Bears love to draft guys with traits, and this guy's definitely got them, but he's also a really good football player. Very good football player. He's had a ton of production at the college level. So, you know, this was something to me, and we were talking about this earlier, about not, you know, there aren't very many weaknesses. I do think our interior offensive line depth isn't very strong. I think it could definitely use some more pieces and more depth. You know, we are a Tevin Jenkins injury away, or a Nate Davis, another year like last year with him struggling on the field. Now, last year, I think, was just the guy was going through a lot, and I'm thinking that was a lot of it. And I hope he bounces back this year, but there's no certainty behind it. It could end up being another year like last year or worse. So, you know, we are just a couple of things away from, you know, the interior offensive line collapsing. So we do need some depth still. I think I'm thinking and hoping that they're probably going to sign some more guys for depth. But that's something we really need. I feel like we are very deep in the secondary. We're now deep at tackle. We're deep at wide receiver, at least at our first three. And, you know, Tyler Scott's a pretty good four. And if he can keep developing, a very good four. So we've got a lot. We're starting to really get a lot of depth. And now I'm hoping that we're going to start getting more depth in the interior line. But love the pick, Jeff. I'll let you go ahead and jump into it. But I was pretty pleased with this one as well.
Yeah, I liked it a lot too. I've had my eyes on this guy for quite some time. He was one of the first guys the Bears brought in for a local private visit. I'm sorry, he wasn't local because he went to Yale, but one of the first private visits, I should say. He's been on the radar for a while now for the team. He met Flus, actually. I don't remember what press conference they sat in, but Flus was talking about when he met the kid about a year or two ago, from golfing, I believe it was. And he was telling Flus that, hey, I'm going to play for you guys. If you guys are going to draft me next year, I think it was last year this happened.
Yes.
You guys are going to draft me next year, I'm going to play for you. And he kind of brushed it off, you know, didn't really think much of it because he was saying that he didn't really watch a whole lot of tape on the kid yet because, you know, he was an underclassman. But, you know, coming into the draft now this year, like I said, you guys, the value is there on the consensus big board. When I watch the guy play, I feel like there's a lot to love. I mean, he dominated competition at the lower levels, which is a huge deal. On top of that, especially when you're talking about guys who are lower level guys, like at Yale, like Ivy League, like that, you want guys who are going to dominate their competition. As Tim said, his measurables are off the charts. He's got great length. He's very, very athletic. He's strong. He's got a better anchor than Braxton Jones did coming out. So, in my opinion, this guy, there's a lot of reasons to like this pick. First of all, the depth is a big thing, as we talked about before. I mean, we had issues on the offensive line last year when there were injuries. They didn't hold up all that well. When Braxton Jones got hurt, the tackle depth was terrible. Larry Borum did not hold up well at all. When Jenkins got hurt, the interior struggled. You know, so having guys, that's why they brought Bates in. That's why they brought in Shelton. That's why they've now drafted Amagajia. Because I feel like in a case of if there's injuries, I feel like he's the kind of guy who you can probably plug him in the interior as well, because I believe he did play some guard at Yale. He's the kind of guy who, if you need him to play guard, he can. If Jones gets hurt or Wright gets hurt, I think he can play tackle for you. The depth is a big deal here because this guy is going to be much better than what they had before as far as depth. So, and on top of that, I think he has starter upside. I feel like at some point he is going to be a starter. Now, my question is that going to be on the exterior tackle, or is he going to be on the interior there at guard somewhere? That I'm not sure. It kind of depends on what happens with Jenkins. Depends on how Jones plays this year, how Braxton Jones plays this season. But I think he is going to take over as a starter somewhere along the offensive line in time. So I do think it was a good move. I liked the pick a lot. I think he's got a ton of upside. And Aldo actually has a clip for you guys of Poles talking about Amagajia, if you'd like to see it. So if you've got that ready, go ahead and play that now, Aldo.
You love the tools that he has. His pass pro is really good. Love his length, hand usage, and a big man that we believe is going to continue to get bigger and more explosive. So it should really increase the competition on our offensive line and make everyone better.
Ryan, it's a significant asset to use on the offensive line for you. I think that Darnell is the only one that you've drafted higher than this.
Yeah.
What are you envisioning as far as a role here?
Yeah, competing. We don't really want to put a ceiling on him. You know, I see the progression is potentially getting himself into swing tackle setup. He can play guard. He played guard early in his career too. So swing tackle inside outside, which is always helpful. We've struggled with flexibility in the past, so he has that ability. And then we'll see where he ascends to. If that means competing to start this year, next year, that's great. But if he ends up, you know, being just another really good offensive lineman, you can't have enough.
You said in January that you thought Braxton was a starting caliber left tackle, but you weren't opposed to opening up competition. Yep. There. Is this a move you think that'll kind of, or do you envision that him like pushing him for a starter's role?
Potentially, probably not year one, but again, I don't want to put a ceiling on Crown either. You know, I think we'll open that up and kind of see how it goes.
Like, I can't even put it into words. Like, this is like I really have no words. I grew up a Bears fan watching Devin Hester playing Madden 08-09, run around with Devin Hester in kickoff mode. Like, this is everything I've wanted since I was a little kid. So, I can't even put it into words. It's amazing.
That video, especially at the end there, you know, this kid's going to be really good. Like, when you have the opportunity to play for your childhood team, he didn't just like the Bears. He loved the Bears, loves the Bears still. The guy ran up to Matt Eberflus during the golf outing, like you were talking about, Jeff, and was like, hey, you know who I am? You probably don't, but I love the Bears and you guys are going to draft me. You know, and the fact that he how excited he is, the tears to get to come and play for his hometown team. This guy is going to give everything he has to this organization. And that to me is huge. Like what he's going to do, you know, the character is definitely there and you can see on tape, he can play. So man, I love that. I love, you know, I can only imagine. By the way, guys, I want to mention really quickly, if you guys haven't seen, the Broncos actually signed a UDFA wide receiver, 5'8", 142 pounds. I put this on my Twitter yesterday, but I'm 5'8" and 142 pounds. So NFL teams, I'm ready to sign my offer sheet. But you know, if I were to had the opportunity to play for my team, the Chicago Bears, I can tell you there is nothing I wouldn't do. I would go out there and give absolutely everything I had. So to me, like hearing that from him, I'm happy. I'm really happy for the kid, for one, because you know, there's not, you know, for somebody to meet their, to have their dream come true. You know, I love seeing stories like this. It's great. I love it. You know, similar to Cole Kmet getting to come play for the Bears. You know, there's a lot of guys the last couple of years who they've brought that were local to the Chicagoland area. I love that part of it. And one more thing before I pass on to you, Jeff, Courtney Cronin's question about, does Ryan Poles envision him playing for a starting spot this year? And, you know, he made the comment, probably not this year, with Braxton there. So I don't think that it's really going to, they obviously don't expect him to do that, but again, like we hear from them every year, they don't put ceiling on players. So, you know, they're going to let him compete for it. And I don't think anybody expected Braxton Jones to start his rookie year, but he blew everybody away at training camp. And he just, from that point on, it was his job to lose. So, you know, who knows, but we'll see what happens. But I think this kid's really going to push for playing time over the next few years. So, and probably work his way into a starting job somewhere on the line. So what do you think, Jeff? What's your analysis of that?
Just the last comment I'll make on Karan before we move on. Just, you know, he's obviously a smart kid, went to Yale, you know, he's like Tim said, he's a fan of the team. This is going to be a big for him. He plays tough as nails on film. He's a bully, as somebody else said on the comments here, the guy, I mean, you just love watching his tape. So, and just the person, the character, that what you're seeing, he just seems like such a Bear kind of guy. And I don't expect him to come in and be a week one starter. I don't expect it at week one for him to be named a starter. But what I do see, though, is I see a guy who, when an injury does inevitably happen, he probably will be one of the first linemen to come in and start, depending on who goes down and depending on what kind of, you know, how he comes in and how ready he is right away. And I do expect him to take over, as I said earlier, starting job at some point, whether it be at tackle or somewhere on the interior. So that's just my opinion. I really like the pick. I think he is a long-term starter at some point, maybe not right away, but I do see him at some point coming in and starting a game or two if he has to, for barring an injury, which inevitably happens on the offensive line. It happens every year to somebody. So that's my take on that. Let's move on to Adunze. We talked a lot about Adunze already earlier, so I don't want to get too far into detail on him, but just let's look at the on-field ramifications of this real quick and what this means on the field. Like I said before, he's the X receiver we've been wanting and needing. We've been talking about now here on this show for months. He's going to provide that for us. He's got great size, 6'3", runs a 4.45, he's plenty fast. He's got like a 39-inch vertical. It's like I think it's like a 10, almost 11-foot broad jump. The guy's plenty explosive. The one thing that I love about Rome Adunze, being a big receiver like he is the metrics show that he can win on any route. He wins on any route. He creates separation. And that, to me, is the biggest indicator of success in the NFL as a receiver, is can you create separation? If you can create separation, you can get open. Especially if you're going to have good hands, you catch a football, you're going to have success in the league if you can get open. So guys like this, with this kind of size, this kind of route running ability, this kind of demeanor, intangible, it's kind of rare. You don't see people like this too often. So the more you dig into this guy and the more you learn about this guy, the more you love him and the more you understand why the Bears went this direction as opposed to a different direction. He could have had his choice to go to any school he wanted to, really, coming out of high school. He was recruited by Alabama and everybody else. He chose to go to Washington. And I was watching on – he had an interview on the Pivot podcast, which if you guys haven't seen this podcast, it's with Ryan Clark and Channing Crowder and Ryan Fred Taylor, who are all former NFL players. And the interview was very, very good. They were talking about, you know, how he had grown up on, you know, with on his – worked on his grandpa's farm and stuff, and also that, you know, how he'd watch his grandpa come home and still respect his grandmother after all that hard work. And he was just talking about different things. And like, you just kind of get a picture into the person and how he is as an individual. And you can see, like, it makes so much sense here. And he was talking about when he chose schools, you know, how he could have gone to Alabama. And when he went to Washington, it was like they had the 4-8 season, but it's like he wanted the chance to go somewhere where he could, like, leave a mark, in essence. Those weren't the words he used, but he wanted to go somewhere and build something and make something. He knew he could go to Alabama and they'd win 10, 11 games every year. He knew that was going to happen. But he wanted to go somewhere where he could make an impact and they'd win partially because of him. I don't think he used those words, but that's kind of the vibe that I got from it. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what he does right away. I think Notorious says that he's going to set Bears rookie receiving records and he's got the best situation of any top three receivers as well. I do agree with that part. The one thing that I do want to say to everybody real quick, though, is let's not forget about DJ Moore, okay? This dude, I think he is about to blow the F up this season. DJ Moore is going to say to everybody, look, we're all talking about Keenan Allen. We're all talking about Roman Dunze. We're all forgetting that, you know, I had, 1,200 yards or whatever it was last year, 1,100 yards. He was number one receiver for his team. Actually, I think it was more than that even. You know, he was, you know, playing in an offense that did not have – great passing numbers. Okay. This guy had a phenomenal season. If this offense can get going, I see DJ Moore having an enormous season. So I would not be surprised if Rome put up big numbers, like you're saying, Notorious. I want to caution everybody because I think DJ Moore is about to blow up and there's only so much ball that can go around here. So Rome, I think, will have a great season. I think he'll be very, very good. I think his ceiling is really almost unlimited, in my opinion. I think he's only going to get better as time goes on. I think he is going to be the Bears' number one receiver of the future. But like I said, let's not forget about DJ Moore. I think he's going to have a huge year. But like I said, we talked a lot about Rome earlier. I like where we're going with this. I love his size. I love his ability to win at the catch point. He's got a huge catch radius. He takes 50-50 balls from everybody. Their corners stand no chance on those balls with him. He's going to go up and he's going to get it. He talked on that podcast I was mentioning earlier to you guys about all the different things he would do to like distract himself from the catch. You know, he put like mesh bag over his head when he's going to make plays and things like that in practice, just to distort his vision and stuff. I mean, he's trying to make it harder on himself. And that's a guy who really wants to get better and wants to be the best. And that's, to me, that's a big part of the reason why he wins so much at the catch point, because those corners and everything else is not a distraction to him. He's going to go get that football. And like I said, you guys, to me, separation is such a huge thing. And he wins on every route on the tree, every route. So I love this guy. I think he's going to come in and be a very, very, very good player for the Bears. I think this pairing with him and Caleb is going to be special. I really do. So give your thoughts on him real quick, Tim. But we might have to save the Caleb talk for next week. But I do want to answer a few questions from the chatters before we move on at the end of the show here.
Yeah. So actually here in a minute, I'm going to have Aldo, he's got a clip of the Parkins and Spiegel interview with TJ Houshmandzadeh, who is actually Rome Odunze's wide receiver coach. But before I do that, I want to mention, you were mentioning DJ Moore, and guys, I think he's going to blow up this year. And to be honest, I kind of think that Keenan Allen is kind of like the third man out of this group. With age and things, but you know, he's going to be a great weapon, you know, within 5-10 yards. He's going to be huge. He's going to be a huge target for Caleb when things, you know, when you need a first down, a guy right there. But he's going to look to throw the ball downfield a lot. And Rome is your guy down the field. DJ's going to tear up the middle of the field and probably one of the best yak wide receivers in the NFL, if not the best yak wide receiver in the NFL. And guys, he was doing it by himself last year. Imagine when you have Keenan and Rome you can't double DJ Moore anymore. What are you going to do? The guy is just, he's going to blow up. I'm telling you, this guy is going to have a massive season. And I think Rome is going to have a really good year too. I really do. And, you know, I think of all the receivers in this draft, Rome was my favorite. I've made that known from the very beginning. And I've been watching this guy for 2 years and watching him dominate. And, you know, I think he's going to be the best wide receiver drafted by the Bears in its history. The best drafted Bears wide receiver. You know, we've gotten a few really good ones that we've traded for, or signed. You know, our best receivers, let's think about them. Brandon Marshall, one of the top ones we've ever had, trade. DJ Moore last year, one of the, probably the greatest receiving season in Bears history, trade. Draft pick Alshon Jeffrey was pretty good, but only had him for a couple of years before we let him go. You know, we just haven't had a lot of guys that we've drafted that have had a lot of success. You know, the one that I always come back to is the Michigan wide receiver from back in like 2003. What was his name, Jeff? You know, David Terrell. I remember watching that thinking, what? Oh boy. Awful, but you know, yeah, awful. But you know, this guy, I honestly feel like he is the most balanced of any wide receiver in this draft. He has the most upside because he does everything well, not just one or two things. You know, everybody talks about Marvin Harrison Jr. And he's an incredible route runner, really good at the catch point, big, speedy, physical receiver, but he's not really good with yak. He's not a great yak wide receiver. You know, you talk about Malik Nabers, doesn't quite have the size. He's not really great at high pointing the ball, but he's got really, really good yak, probably the best of anybody in this draft class. But Rome is like top in every category and probably the best at the catch point, going up and getting the football. Very, very, very good at that. And, you know, not, you know, let's think about it for a minute. You know, a couple of years ago, he had Kyler Gordon in his face. Last year, the year before last, Trent McDuffie, the guy was going up against the top corners in the NFL, two of the better corners in the NFL right now in college. Like he had a really good room of guys he was up against. So, you know, the guy's had a lot to work with. So, but let's go in here really quick. I want to get to this interview because TJ said a lot of really interesting things and I think you'll be interested to hear it as well. So Aldo, if you've got that clip, let's go ahead and play it.
We're talking to TJ Houshmandzadeh. You're working with Rome Odunze. Tell us about his game. Scout him for us.
Big, fast, ball skills are really crazy. That's the thing that stood out to me was make a hard catch look really easy. And that right there is difficult to do. And he makes that look easy. But he's a big dude, man, and he can run 10, 500 meters in high school. Anybody that know anything about track, when you can run that in high school, you can roll, can really drop his weight to be 6'3". And so there's really nothing he can't do. A comp. I know people have asked me about that. I don't have a comp because it's very rarely that you see a guy with his size that can run like that, that can drop their weight and run routes, ball skills. I mean, the ball skills, I mean, Chris Henry had ball skills, crazy ball skills. Rome is very similar to that. But Rome, the way he can drop his weight, the way he can run routes, he has good quickness at the line of scrimmage.
Can I throw two at you?
Yeah.
Devontae Adams?
He's bigger.
Bigger. So Garrett Wilson?
He's bigger. Man. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, Rome is a big dude, and I don't think people realize that until you get up on him, like, legit 6'3".
So, real quick, we don't have a ton of time here. So, like I said, guys, we're going to get into, like, some Caleb talk next week and the ramifications of that. And I want to get more into some of these interviews and stuff, too, at some point. But just from TJ Houshmandzadeh, what he was saying, first of all, you can feel the passion in his voice talking about Rome when he's making these comparisons to other players. Like they were talking about Devontae and he said, he's bigger. You know, he's talking about who was the other player he made a comparison to?
Devontae Adams.
I just said Devontae. Who was the other one?
It
doesn't matter. So there, but then at the end, somebody asked about Larry Fitzgerald. And he said, you know what? That's the probably the closest comparison you've made, but he's faster than Larry. And Notorious mentioned in the comments, he says in the interview, he's nobody compares him. He's one of one. Which is interesting. He's really kind of different. He's not like Calvin Johnson, because Calvin Johnson was a true anomaly. But he's got like some different kind of traits here that you don't really see from receivers very often. So I'm really excited about Rome's ceiling. I'm excited to see where he goes. So before we get out of here, let's see if we can get to a question or two from you guys in the chats here, if we have any. We might not. Okay, so Foster wants to know, his biggest concern is the interior offensive line. What do you guys think of the interior? That's one of my biggest concerns too, Foster. My biggest being that, you know, how are we going to hold up at center? You know, is Shelton going to be the starter, or is Bates going to be the starter? And depending on which guy does start, is he going to be good enough to protect Caleb in the middle there? Because as we know, defensive tackles are starting to make big bucks because interior pressure is starting to become a big deal in the NFL these days. So if we can't hold up inside, that's going to be a big deal for our, you know, our rookie quarterback. I feel like at tackle, especially at right tackle, Darnell will be fine. I think Braxton will hold up okay too, honestly. My biggest question marks are like, how healthy can Tevin stay? Is he going to be able to stay healthy enough to play every game? How good are we going to be at center? And is Nate Davis going to get back to his usual form? Or is he going to have another down year like he had last year? Because if he does, he's going to be gone. So I think they will be better than they were last year on the offensive line, but they're going to have to be better, in my opinion. Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I'm laughing at some of these comments in here. But yeah, I think I answered that question earlier, more or less. I'm not real confident in the depth of the interior O-line, but I think it's a strong, you know, Tevin Jenkins, when he's healthy, is one of the best guards in football. So especially in run blocking. So, you know, hopefully if we keep him healthy, hopefully Nate Davis has a bounce back year. I think we're definitely going to have better center play. I mean, not that there's, you know, doesn't take much to be improved from what we've been dealing with the last couple of years. But yeah, I do think it's going to be better.
Let's get to this last comment before we get out of here. Nano CBD mentions there's a report out there that Fields is going to be returning kickoffs in Pittsburgh. Not that he is going to be returning, but I think their special teams coordinator had been talking about the possibility that they'd mentioned it within their organization, thought about him possibly doing that. And Nano mentions that he won't start in Pittsburgh because everyone in the NFL knows he's trashed and we fleece the Steelers. Well, I don't know that I agree with that second part, Nano. I do think at some point he's going to take over as the starter at quarterback for Russell Wilson. I really think Russell, as great as he was at one time, he's just not the same guy anymore. And Fields, I feel like the Steelers have enough around him there where the Bears really didn't have in the past. And really now, as I mentioned to you guys before last year, several weeks ago, that I felt like he'd improved a lot at the end of the season last year. And I think at some point he is going to take over and be their starter. And I do hope that he, you know, takes over and becomes their starter, because number one, I like the guy and I hope he has success. And number two, we get a fourth round pick if he plays a lot for them. So that's the hope for me and for him, you know, because he's, like I said, he's a good guy. We want to see him have success. We don't want to hate on the guy for no reason. He was, you know, a great guy here in Chicago. It's kind of unfortunate what happened with him here. But again, we're turning the page now, guys. It's unfortunate what happened with him here. We're obviously in a better situation now than we have been in a long time. Caleb is the quarterback now. I do expect, like I said, Fields to take over in Pittsburgh and be the starter. I think the kick returner thing is a little bit of nonsense. I don't see that being the case. And if it is, I mean, it's a little stupid in my opinion, because you're talking about a guy taking more hits than he probably needs to. Especially if you do plan on him taking over quarterback at some point, which I would anticipate them doing. So that's just my thought on that. You have any last minute thoughts, Tim?
Yeah, I just want to comment on that really quickly. You know, for one, I don't think it's fair to call Justin Fields trash. Who knows what he would have been had he had what Caleb Williams is walking into. I think we would have been a playoff team this year with Justin Fields or Caleb Williams. I think he could very well have been a playoff quarterback. To be honest, for the near future, I think Justin would have been the better option for this coming season because he has NFL experience and he's not going to have to walk in and you know, learn the offense completely and be a rookie in the NFL. Longevity wise, I don't think it's going to be a question. I think Caleb Williams is going to be the better quarterback in the future, but you know, let's face reality. Justin never really had good opportunity here. He had one receiver and one tight end that were really any good in his time here. Darnell Mooney was okay, especially for 1 year. But after that, I don't think that's fair to say that Justin was trash. But, you know, honestly, with the whole kick returner thing, he's the best athlete on the field. Why wouldn't you talk about at least, you know, the possibility of doing that? Do I think it's realistic? No. Do I think they would even consider that? No. But I'm sure it was a conversation because, as we know, Justin Fields was the best athlete on the football field in every game he stepped on last year and the year before and the year before that. He's one of the best athletes in football. So why wouldn't you consider doing that or at least talk about it? But I don't know if we've got – go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, that's – you know, it doesn't really matter at this point. I don't – like I said, I don't agree that he was trash, but – we're turning the page now. It is what it is. I'm going to root for the guy where he's at in Pittsburgh, but we have our guy now, and you know we're going to talk about him more at length. I'm sad we didn't have time today to do it, but we will next week. So before we get out of here, just one thing real quick, guys, I wanted to mention to you. I'm going to be changing my Twitter handle. So I'm going to give you guys, if you follow me on Twitter already, I'm going to be talking about what I want to change it to. If not, I'm going to get on here again next week and mention what my options are to make it a little easier for you guys. But thanks again for being here, guys. Appreciate your time as always. Next week, like I said, we'll dig more into Caleb himself, actually, and some of these other interviews that we wanted to get into today. So give us all a follow and a like on the video at Barroom Network, at Jaws0235, at TimWillis24. Thanks as always, guys, and bear down. We'll do the Caleb Claw.
Bullshit.